Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our special guest, which is you, ladies and gentlemen, you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we'll appreciate your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to talk about, you want to comment on what I'm saying, you disagree with what I'm saying, that's fine. But let me just start out. I read a fascinating article. I believe it was this morning. One day seems to sort of merge into the next, but within the last 2 days, in something called the Iran Monitor. Now, it's put out by the Foreign Policy Association, a group that has specialists in different countries. They have a Russian monitor, a Chinese monitor, the Missile Defense Monitor, but the Iran Monitor certainly has interesting information about what's going on in Iran that you will not find elsewhere. And of course, we know that there are American forces, special forces teams, covertly operating, certainly within the borders of Iran, sometimes kidnapping people, other times carrying out assassinations, I assume, on people that the American government doesn't like. It's illegal by international standards. If these men were caught, they would be executed as spies because, of course, they're not in uniform. They're special forces working with the CIA. And, of course, we're giving something like $40 million to opposition groups within Iran to try to overthrow the government. These are all acts of war. And, of course, we've talked in the past about the possibility of war with Iran, and I don't know when it's coming. I don't know whether it's coming, but everything I read and everything we analyze and looking at things from a biblical point of view, I think a war with Iran is coming because they've invested a tremendous amount of effort of trying to get us to hate Iran and to hate the leaders of Iran, who actually were installed by the Central Intelligence Agency back in 79 when the CIA toppled the Shah of Iran and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. But what was interesting about the article I recently read was the fact that they were saying that the Iranian government, or perhaps the military, but the Iranians had just were in the process of digging 340,000 graves. 340,000 graves will be dug and will be covered over, waiting to be used very, very soon. And, of course, what the Iranians are telling their people is the fact that those are for enemy soldiers in case there's a war. Well, of course, I really don't believe you're telling the Iranian people the truth. I believe that that is probably for the Iranians who they anticipate will be killed in the coming conflict. They obviously think there's going to be a conflict. Our leaders want a conflict because, of course, they're controlled by the neoconservatives who are disciples of Niccolo Machiavelli. And if most of you haven't read the material, the speech that Ron Paul gave in last year, pardon me, it was actually in 2003, and that's the subject of my May newsletter and will be the subject of my June newsletter, why the neoconservatives believe that Machiavelli was right when he wrote The Prince and commented that deceit and lies and cruelty are what the ruling group, the ruling prince, has to use, and that war is such an essential element in controlling the populace. You have to have people constantly at war, the government constantly at war. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It was interesting. It's the only place I've read about those 340,000 graves. What do they know? Is it true? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I hope and pray it isn't true, because I think what a horrible thing to contemplate. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we'd appreciate your calls if you're out there. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening to the economy here in the United States, because the economy in the United States and the move of the world into a massive war many times go very, very much together. But the economy in the United States is not good. Inflation is upon us, and although the government keeps insisting that the rate of inflation is really only 2.1%, that's core inflation. Well, inflation, if you take in food and fuel, is maybe 4%, or maybe it's even 5%. Maybe it's going up a little bit, but the truth of the matter is it's really running about 12%. Just go to the gas station and look at the price. Go to the food stores and look at the price. Understand that within the last 2 weeks, why Rio Tinto, which is the largest producer of iron ore in the world, Rio Tinto raised the price of iron ore 85%. 85%, almost doubled the price of iron ore, which means that down the line the price of iron and then steel and steel products will go up by a comparable amount. It's only a matter of time before we see skyrocketing prices of steel and iron products and anything made from them. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about hyperinflation, not only in China and but throughout the world. Right now, the inflation rate in China is running about 8%. The inflation rate in India is running about 8%. The inflation rate in Russia is running 15 to 20%. The inflation rate in Vietnam is 25%. Now, these are in other countries. Right now, our inflation rate is probably only about 12.5%, but it's going to be up to 18%, maybe 20% within a year here in the United States. And this, of course, precedes, is a prelude to the destruction of the American dollar. And this is a frightening thing to contemplate, because most Americans have no idea what is really going on in the world and the implications of this as far as their insurance policies. Oh, you get paid on your insurance policy. If your house burns down, you get paid on your insurance policy. If you die, your widow will receive the money, but it will be worth so much less. It will impact on your pension funds, because, of course, so many of the pension funds are invested in major corporations things that they're invested in, like General Motors and some of our big financial institutions, are dropping like a rock. But even more than that, the dollars you're going to get back in your pension fund will not buy what the dollars you put in would have. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is Open Line Wednesday, and we look forward to your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We find, of course, that oil now is up to about $143, $144 a barrel, and everything points to the fact it's going to go a great deal higher. Now, it doesn't have to. Certainly, there's no reason for oil to be at the price that it is. It costs $5 or $6 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground over there in Saudi Arabia. It probably costs $3 or $4 a bushel, or maybe a barrel, to get oil out of the ground up in Prudhoe Bay. But you don't have to worry about it. We're not going to benefit from that, because all the oil from Prudhoe Bay doesn't come to American refineries. It goes to Japanese refineries. Why are we sending all the oil to Japan? Why? Because Japan is an occupied nation. It's been occupied since the end of the Second World War. The people who run Japan do the biddings of the people who rule America. We have our troops stationed in Japan. Japan is totally under the control of the people in the United States. We're driving the world towards a new world order and a new world religion. Now, the average Japanese doesn't understand that, but this is the reality of what's going on in the world today. The United States has an empire. The average American doesn't know that, but we have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world. And just as Rome had their troops stationed in nations throughout the world, So America today has their troop stations throughout the world, but we can't let the American people understand that we have, of course, these ideals of America. We have, of course, a constitution. We have, millions of patriotic people, but there's a small component who rules America from behind the scenes, who controls both political parties. And it really doesn't matter whether the Democrats or Republicans win this coming November. The policy, the globalist policies, will continue, because the ultimate goal is the one world order, the one world religion, and the one world ruler. And that is what it is really all about. There are people who would really like to bring about what's prophesied in the Bible, but not to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, but to install their ruler instead of the God of the universe. They honestly believe that they are going to be able to defeat God, and I don't think they're going to in the long run, but things are looking pretty good for them at the present time. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Something fascinating happened this last weekend. Those of you who, of course, listen to our program regularly will know who Lindsay Williams is. Lindsay Williams was the chaplain on the pipeline where they built the Alaska pipeline, built, I think, 1974 to 1977. And while he was there, of course, he had an opportunity to witness the development of the oil on Gull Island, a massive oil field, dwarfing all of the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. And of course, it's just off the north shore of Prudhoe Bay. It's surrounding Gull Island. I mean, there's a massive oil field there, at least 40 miles to the east of Gull Island, and they drilled many, many wells, and, of course, all of them, of course, had oil. And then, of course, there's another oil field to the west of Gull Island, equally as large, and a completely separate field, and that's completely separate from the field at Prudhoe Bay. So there's a massive oil field there, and Lindsay, back in 1980 or 81, wrote a book entitled The Energy Non-Crisis, which he basically said there's no reason for an oil shortage. There's plenty of oil off the north slope of Alaska, and they've decided not to develop that oil field, and they are actively concealing that fact from the American people. Well, of course, I, being a little skeptical, even though I like Lindsay very much, I actually was able to track down an official who worked for British Petroleum who confirmed Lindsay's story. Told me he had never understood why they had not developed the field around Gull Island, because, of course, it would have made us energy independent long ago. And, of course, I asked him to come on to our radio programs. He said he couldn't. He feared because, of course, if he were to do that, it would endanger his job with British Petroleum. You have to understand that we have about five major oil companies in the world today who really control the world oil supplies, probably being challenged somewhat by China Petrol, but I suspect that even China Petrol, the government, Chinese communist government's oil company, has working agreements with what's going on with our major oil companies. And of course, our major oil companies are over in Russia developing their oil today, providing with the finances and the technology, which has made Russia the largest exporter of oil anywhere in the world. And of course, you're never told that. You're told Saudi Arabia is the largest exporter, but Russia is actually the largest exporter of oil and of natural gas in the world today. And you can check these things out on the internet if you want to challenge me. If you say those things just couldn't be true, if they were, why Rush Limbaugh would have told me. But the fact of the matter is that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the smiling faces that you see on radio and television, they're not going to tell you these things. Because, of course, they're the finest conservatives money could buy, and the truth about what's really going on is not going to be made public. Well, anyway, of course, Lindsay's been trying for many years to tell people about the energy non-crisis, and I had had him on a number of times early in the 1990s, but then when oil started going up more recently, we had him on a series of programs again, and we put together a great four-CD set called The Oil Deception. Pointing out that there's lots of oil, there's no reason for the price going up, but it's not going to make any difference, because it would take you literally years to get the oil down from the Gull Island or from the other oil fields up there adjacent to Gull Island. We would have to build a pipeline, and of course that would take us half a dozen years. And certainly it doesn't matter whether this is a scam or whether it's real, why we're still going to see skyrocketing prices of oil. And I believe one day you'll look back on oil at $100 and $40 a barrel as the good old days. I really fear that the time is coming, of course, when we're going to see oil at $200 or $250 a barrel. And of course, there's an agenda, there's a method to the madness. The people who run the world really want to lower the living standards of the American people and to transfer our wealth to other nations. And, of course, by raising the price of oil here, why, of course, they're going to force us out of our cars. And, of course, by raising the price of electricity, they're going to be able to shut down our industries. That's what the Kyoto Protocol is all about. It's limiting energy utilization in the United States, an attack on the manufacturing infrastructure of America, what still remains. We used to be produce 50% of the world's manufacture, and now we're down to about 20%, and of course they really wanted to drop us far lower and transfer our manufacturing to China and India to raise the living standards of the people in those countries as they lower the living standards here. Just in China alone during this last year, why, of course, there have been over 6.5 million new cars put on the road. In China this year, 6.5 million new cars put on the road, and certainly a dramatic increase in the cars in India. Well, of course, let's get back to Lindsay Williams, but let me mention our telephone number once again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, somebody had written to me by email a couple of weeks ago, and talking about Lindsay Williams, they said, you know, he no longer has a web page. His web page is down. Did they get to him? So I called Lindsay, and I said, Lindsay, you don't have a web page. And, of course, it's always very gracious remarks on the part of Lindsay. We get along very well. But Lindsay told me that he had been threatened by people within the oil industry and told if he valued his safety and the safety of his family, he would actually stop, you know, actually talking about Gull Island, the massive oil deposit up there off the north slope of Prudhoe Bay. He would stop distributing his book. And, of course, if he did those things, everything would be fine. If he didn't do those things, there would be serious consequences. And Lindsay realizes these are ruthless people who use murder and assassination and war, and they don't care about humanity or human life. They have an agenda, and they do what benefits them. So in these circumstances, Lindsay was forced to close down his website, to stop selling his book. Well, eventually then, of course, there was a copy of his book that was on eBay. Now, there are no copies of the book on Amazon. You can check this out. You can go up on Amazon, and there are no copies of the Lindsay Williams book, The Energy Non-Crisis, on Amazon, all last week. But over the weekend, maybe Friday or Saturday, Sunday last week, there was one copy offered on Amazon and several other sites, about five sites. It cost $1,995 for a used copy of Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis. $1,995, but by Monday, the copy of the book had disappeared. And you can go up on the Internet, you can go to Lindsay's website, you can go to Amazon and see how many copies of The Energy Non-Crisis you can buy. And, of course, you're not going to buy it. Now, I want to tell you, we do have an excellent DVD that Lindsay has given me the opportunity to circulate. It's called The Energy Non-Crisis, and you can get Lindsay's story on DVD. We hope that you will. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to order the DVD, The Energy Non-Crisis, which is being actively suppressed by the most wealthy and powerful people in the world. But this is simply the story, even though it's on DVD and not the book. The book is not available. The DVD is, along with our four-tape or four-CD set, The Oil Deception, which, of course, features, at least in part, Lindsay Williams and other people who will tell you about the scam of peak oil. Our telephone number is 1-888 24 Liberty. If you have a question, if you'd like to ask, if you are concerned about what's going on, if you're concerned about what's going on in the world today, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. Don't wait till the end of the program. Call in early, and we'd like to know what you're thinking about the coming collapse of the American economy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we're seeming to be doing a monologue this evening because we're not getting any calls, but we certainly should be because, of course, these are dire times for the United States. We are moving into a recession, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world, which I believe will be followed by hyperinflation and then deflation, and then the worst of both worlds, stagflation and deflation coming together, and then, of course, we're going to see serious consequences here in America and really throughout the world. General Motors, which has always been the bellwether of the American economy, General Motors, of course, their stock is at the lowest level since 1975. And, of course, General Motors, you could buy the entire corporation for $6 billion now if you had the money, but it probably would not be a very good idea. Let's go to Sam, who's calling from Cincinnati. Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You listen to us back there on the radio or a shortwave or Internet?
Internet, but it is on the radio now as well.
All right, very good. Well, we do have an outlet there in Cincinnati, and we're just thankful we have it. Anyway, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. Actually, I was kind of waiting for Open Line to ask these two different questions.
All right, that's what Open Line's all about, so please go ahead.
I heard you say something a week or two ago, and I kind of want clarification. Did you say that a group of Christian leaders you met with President Bush when he was running for office in 2000, and then...
And actually, we met him. The meeting was in 1999, but you're absolutely right. And this was probably about 30 Christian leaders. About 20 of them came to the first meeting and about 20 to the second meeting. We actually, of course, the first meeting was with Gary Bauer and Steve Forbes and Alan Keyes and a fellow named a congressman, and the second meeting was with Pat Buchanan and George Bush. Yes, I went back to Washington, D.C. on two occasions to interview the Republican candidates with the idea that maybe, of course, we would be able to, Christians could unite behind one of the candidates and we could get the whole Christian community to bring a Christian into office. And, of course, there were several of us who thought that George Bush was not the man we should be backing. But we never got together. I feel it was a mistake in some part even to have gone because, of course, they announced to the public the fact that this group of people, and I've forgotten even what it was called at the time, but that this group of people were going to back George W. Bush. And I sure didn't back him, and I know my friend John Stormer, who was there, didn't back him. But go ahead.
Yeah,
that's actually happened. We did have the meetings. I had an opportunity to meet the then governor of the state of Texas, George W. Bush, and he looked me right in the eye, and he lied to me.
Yeah, I thought that you felt like he garnered your support, and then kind of was a bait and switch, and I kind of wanted some clarification, or you'd expound on that.
Well, he never got my support, but he got the support of the other Christian leaders because he said exactly what we wanted to hear. He told about his conversion to Christianity, that Billy Graham had led him to the Lord, and of course that he loved the Lord and he prayed regularly. He said all the right things. Now, of course, I knew that, of course, in Texas, every other word that was uttered in the state house was the F word, and a Christian just doesn't do that if he's a born-again Christian. But he said what the Christians wanted to hear, and he garnered their support, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And this my second question switches topics a bit. I was curious to how long – were you a missionary in Africa or just a doctor? I don't want to say just a doctor, but were you
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Sam. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Sam calling from Cincinnati. This is Open Line Wednesday. So our telephone number is 1-800- 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Sam, calling from Cincinnati, was asking me about the fact that I had had an opportunity to meet the President Bush at that time back in 1999 along with a group of Christian leaders who tried to pick an ideal president to save America. And the group picked George Bush, and certainly I was one of those people who was very much against that decision. Then, of course, Sam was asking when I was in Africa if I was a missionary. No, I was not. I was teaching medicine at a medical school in Bloemfontein, South Africa, and the chief of orthopedics at the Pelonomi Native Hospital in Bloemfontein. We had about 80 beds. We had a staff of about 4 or 5 registrars. They're like residents here in the United States, and certainly we were teaching them to become orthopedic surgeons. So it was a great and thrilling 3-year experience. But I'm sure glad I came home.
I think it would be neat some night if there was someone that interviewed you, Dr. Stanton. I think you said you were 79, is that right?
I'm 79 right now, yeah.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you. A lot of people could kick back and retire, but I appreciate you being on the air and still enlightening a lot of us.
Well, we're trying to educate people so they can understand what's going on and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. And there really are supernatural forces that are influencing the course of human events. And I can say that because I read what the people on the other side say, and they will tell you that they are these supernatural forces. They call them the Ancients of Wisdom or the Elder Brothers or the Great White Brotherhood, who are influencing the leaders of our country today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless, and let's go to Joan, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, Joan, how are you doing?
Dr. Stan, I know that the stock market is very bad right now and to really get out, but I have family that does not believe me. And I wondered if you wouldn't mind just giving a few little tidbits to... I can't put it in the very best words that you probably could.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can't convince anybody of anything. They've got to convince themselves, but all they need to do is look and see what's happened to the stock market today to understand where we are headed. And I just ask them, you know, what are you going to do when the value of the dollar has declined 50% and everything costs twice as much?
Right.
What are you going to do, of course, when the value of your pension fund and of your savings and your CD becomes worthless? Well, if you could get them to read some of the things that we have, some of our newsletters, we have a little pamphlet called The History of Money, which, of course, is pretty, I think, very educational. Oh, The Financial Meltdown.
Yeah.
But certainly, they would read Alan Greenspan's book, and in his book, The Age of Turbulence, he tells us that, quotes Lenin as saying, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debase the currency, and not one person in a million will know what's going to happen.
Right. Well, I've told them a lot of this, but getting people to listen, I tape you all the time, and getting people to read is kind of difficult. Everybody's all claims to be so busy, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, we actually have a great site up on the Internet. At RadioLiberty.com, and we have something called videos, and you go there and you can see a lot of the talks we've given, and I believe my talk on the financial tsunami is up there, and I certainly recommend that. It's quite well done, and it really talks about where we are headed. It talks about paper money. The fact is that every paper money system throughout all history has collapsed. But in the final analysis, Joan, people are going to have to find out on their own. But just tell them that the price of oil is going to continue going up. Tell them about the suppression of Lindsay Williams' book. And they
I am. I'm going to. Yes, I've got it on the tape.
Right.
But I did send for you a financial tsunami, and I saw it, and my daughter saw a part of it. And I also, but they think, my youngest daughter thinks that things can come back. And I said, no,
I'm afraid that God brings judgment on nations, and we've been blessed with so much, and I really fear that we're in for terrible times. This is going to last at least a decade, and millions of people are going to lose their homes, and millions are going to, to lose their cars and their jobs and be impoverished, and some people may well be living in tent cities before this is over. All you can do is tell them, Joan.
Right.
They're
going
to eventually come to you saying, hey, you're a prophet, Joan.
Right.
So don't feel bad. All you can do is try to warn them.
I know. Okay, thank you so much.
God bless them. Thanks very much for calling.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And this is Dr. Stan. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And we're going to be going, I believe, to Mark, who's calling from Florence, Oregon. And, Chris, if you'd like to join our lineup, I think we have one line open. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and would look forward to hearing from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's go to Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
It's hi, Florence, Oregon, too, Dr. Stan.
Right.
I'll wait for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, nice to speak with you. Dr. Stan, you've gone over some of the near future scenario that seems most likely to you, given the current economic conditions in particular is what I'm referring to. I heard, I believe it was Dr. William Deagle a little earlier today, quoted a price of $180 per barrel for oil as being the tipping point to where the economy actually would not be able to recover itself. And I wanted to get your views on what you think will actually be the tipping point, whether it be economic and or political or foreign policy related, such as the invasion of Iran, and how likely you really see that invasion being, or are we just being sandbagged and the issue of Iran is being floated about as far as a possible invasion, without heard anything from 3,000 to 10,000 pre-selected targets that they've had outlined to attack in the event of an invasion for months of, not even over a year now, possibly, that they have been fully prepared to go in there. But is this something that will happen, but it may not happen in the near time frame that we get the prompts, I feel like, from the media, that it seems that's what it totals up to as far as what the mass media is saying. They're kind of keeping us all on the edge of our seats.
Let's just take one issue at a time. First of all, what's the tipping point as far as oil? Well, I think that, Chris, we're at a tipping point right now. Certainly, our whole airline industry is pretty, many of the companies on the verge of collapse. Certainly, the only airline company that's doing well is Southwest Airline because they bought futures contracts and they can get oil at a good price. So their prices for spares are much lower, but American, United, Northwest, all of these Continental are having real problems. And, of course, that is carried over then. And, of course, they're canceling their orders for new planes, and that's going to impact on the economy of Boeing, which is going to impact on the economy of the northwestern part of the United States. And then, of course, we're seeing skyrocketing prices of food. We're seeing really the fact that we may lose, 20 or 30% of our corn and soybean contract crops this year. We may be facing famine later this year in many parts of the world. And then, of course, what about Iran? Are they giving us a lot of false information? I think sooner or later there's going to be an invasion, but I don't know when it's going to come. We're just going to have to wait and hold there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Sydney Mark calling from Oregon. And, of course, Mark was simply asking what I thought about Iran. Do we think they're going to have an invasion? Yes, I do. I do not know when it is. Are they giving us a lot of false information? Absolutely. They're always giving us false information. They're creating our reality. They're molding our views. But there is so much information that suggests that they want to involve the United States in a war with a Muslim world. Why? Well, because, of course, war is a wonderful way, first of all, of controlling the people in this country. And then, of course, I believe that they want a war with the Muslim world because they really believe they want to reduce the population. A lot of these Muslim countries won't go along with their idea of the one world government. And so they want to overthrow all of the existing governments in the Middle East and certainly in Asia that are Muslim in nature. And I believe whether it's coming in a matter of months or of years, I cannot tell you. But everything is being done to get the American people to hate the Muslims, and everything is being done in the Muslim nations to get the Muslim people to hate the Americans. There wasn't this animosity before. I don't like the Muslim faith, but that doesn't mean the Muslims are my enemy inherently. But, of course, when we get into this war, why we'll be killing Muslims and Muslims will be killing Americans simply because we hate them and they hate us. They've invested too much in creating this atmosphere of hate and telling us how terrible the Muslim faith is just to have this go for nothing. And I'm very much reminded of the way things were before the Second World War, when it should have been so obvious we were going to war with Japan. We had put embargoes on Japan, just as we're putting embargoes on Iran today. Acts of war. And we're even talking about, you know, blockading Iran to force them to do what we want. But remember, we installed the Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979. Why would we have put a radical Islamic fundamentalist into power in Iran and, you know, unless at some time in the distant future we were planning on going to war with that nation? That's what's frightening to me.
You know, Dr. Stan, by the way, Russia has an agreement with Iran, which I believe is fairly long-standing, that if Iran is attacked, that Russia will come in on its side in an aggressive way, in a military way. In Ezekiel 38, it seems to speak of this war where actually the United States attacks Iran. It seems to be a fulcrum point for the near future prophetic events, many of which are described in the Bible, to occur. That's why I'm so concerned about it, and exactly I wanted to get your opinion with your years of experience and wisdom on what you thought about the time frame and the likelihood this year, how you feel about it on a gut instinct, basically. But I won't take any more of your time, Dr. Stan, but I certainly appreciate all of your great answers.
Oh, God bless. And remember, God only knows when these things are going to come to pass, described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but I recommend that as people reread that, and we're going to be discussing this tomorrow evening at our 9 o'clock program with a Messianic Jew who's actually studied this in great detail, and I believe we are beginning to see the prophecies laid out in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Okay, well, I'll sure make sure to catch that one tomorrow night, Dr. Stan. God bless you, and thank you for all of your efforts, sir.
Thank you so very much for calling. Okay, fine. Well, that was certainly Mark calling from Oregon, and let's go to Carol calling from Fort Thomas, Kentucky, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Carol? Is Fort Thomas close to Lexington, or how are you hearing us there in Kentucky?
I'm in spitting distance of Cincinnati.
Okay, fine. I know which Carol this is then. Hi, how are you tonight, Carol?
Well, you're sounding a whole lot like my favorite politician. His name is Ron Paul.
Right. Well, Chris, Ron Paul is one of my favorite people in the world, the whole world. I think he's a man of integrity in a world of equivocal men.
Right, right. Well, now, the reason I mention that is that I remember back when Lindsay, because I videotaped Lindsay when he was here in Cincinnati, I sent the tape to you, and he was traveling with Ron Paul.
Right.
He was giving speeches out there, political speeches, on the subject, which has been a long time in the making. And also, I have a lot of information and videos and everything of Peter Beckman.
Right.
But, and he wrote a lot. He's got a wonderful sense of humor. And he wrote a lot about the problem of not going nuclear,
right,
how important it is.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, the thing is that there's no reason not to go nuclear. All the rest of the world is going nuclear. We're actually subsidizing the building of those.
A New American had a good article a couple of months ago describing the whole, how many countries are using nuclear and we use the least.
But, of course, the thing is that the reason that we do not use nuclear here is because, of course, the environmental movement, and, of course, because the media is controlled and they implanted fear in the hearts of the American people about the danger of explosion of the...
They're talking about nuclear and bombs together.
Right, of course, and there's no basis for that at all.
No part of the... And share.
Right. Anyway, Carol, did you have a point you'd like to make before we let you go?
That was my point.
All right, I think it's a very valid point, and people have to understand, number one, there is no problem with the storage of nuclear fuel. No. You simply reprocess it. We're not allowed to do that. There's not one person in 1,000 in America who understands that all the rest of the world doesn't have a problem with storing spent nuclear fuel. It's just simply reprocessed and made back into nuclear fuel. So
I read all those right-wing extremists.
Right.
And they know what's going on, and they get blamed for killing Kennedy, which, of course, is ridiculous.
Amen. Okay.
But we get put off on that. We have everything going for us if we don't let them brainwash us.
Well, and unfortunately, they control the media. They control the minds and reality of the majority of the American people, and that's why we do what we do, and that's why I know that you do what you do, and you've been doing it for, I won't say how many years, but I appreciate it.
I've got 25 years of it.
Well,
it's
I've been
in my house.
Anyway, God bless you, and I will talk to you later. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That's Carol calling from, actually, she's in Kentucky, fairly close to Cincinnati. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Ray, who's calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Fair. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about our politicians in Washington, D.C., and specifically John McCain, Senator John McCain, has not paid property taxes on his estate in La Jolla for 4 years. You know, and he'll probably not have to, but we have to. People like us will have to do that, but he's special.
You're absolutely right.
He's special, and we're just, I don't know.
Well, we have a ruling elite. I think it's so important that people understand there is a ruling elite. That ruling elite does have an agenda. And, of course, they favor their people, and of course, they enslave the rest of us. And people have to understand that, for instance, you can have some fellow who owes, $100 million in income tax. Does he go to prison? No. They negotiate it. He pays off $1 million, and everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
But this elite has a goal. They work in concert. They want the world government. They want to destroy Christianity. And, of course, they are bound together by a common religious belief. And the truth of the matter is they worship a different God. When you understand what we're seeing today is a resurgence of Gnosticism, it permeates every aspect of our society. And so often we actually see reports, that 95% of the people believe in God, but they never tell you what God they believe in. And they believe in a different God. That's the trouble.
Yeah, and, it's really... Washington, D.C. is an evil place. It permeates evil. And since Washington, D.C. was created, it's always been a Masonic... the Masonic influences.
Right, you're absolutely right. In fact, we carry a DVD called the Secret Architecture. It's called Riddles in Stone, the Secret Architecture of our Nation's Capital. It goes into this very idea of the occult influence that was there when Washington, D.C. was laid out. And they knew exactly what they were doing. as above, so below, and they were actually designing the street signs and street positions in Washington, D.C., having to do with the constellations in the heavens. And, of course, there were people there. If you haven't seen that DVD, Riddles in Stone, is well worthwhile. Chris Pinto, who put it together, was able to get into many areas in the nation's capital and get the pictures there in the Library of Congress of Francis Bacon. Now, who was Francis Bacon? He wasn't an American. No, no, he was a Rosicrucian. He was a member of the secret society that had written a book called The New Atlantis, that stating that America, now this is basically in the early 1600s, America was to lead the world into this one world government, and it was his Rosicrucian disciples who came to America shortly after the Pilgrims did and began working to corrupt our society and take it over, and it took them several centuries before they were in total working control in Washington, D.C., but you're absolutely right. Strong Masonic influences right there in Washington, D.C.
And, you know, what I'm thinking is that there'll be some kind of punishment. I really agree with you about God's punishment. I think God's punishment will be upon us in some form or another. I don't know what kind of punishment it will be, but there'll be a punishment.
Well, we have, right today in California, we have 1,400 fires blazing, and some of them they just can't seem to do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we see these massive floods. We've never seen floods in the Middle West that I can remember like we're having, and we're finding all sorts of tornadoes. We've never had tornadoes like we're having today. Is it possible that these are man-made? I believe that there are people in government, wicked and evil people who can control the weather, but of course God can use wicked people to bring his judgment upon a nation that's turned against him.
Well, let's hope that it's Washington, D.C. that gets punished, because they certainly deserve it.
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to be just Washington, D.C. I think we're all going to bear the brunt of what lies ahead. I think it's going to be very difficult times. That's why we encourage everybody, if they do not already have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to know how to do it, why, they can always call us. There's a great book I'm reading by Joel Rosenberg. It's called Countdown, and I think we're going to carry that, because it's got a wonderful invitation, a Christian invitation, to tells people how to give their life to Jesus Christ. A fascinating, fascinating story.
You know, Father Malachi said a lot of things, but he stressed the influence of the Masons in the Catholic Church.
Right.
You know, it's basically an organization dedicated to evil.
You're absolutely
right. I believe that what he was saying in those tapes, you know, that this whole thing is envelops the world, you know.
Well, I think what most Masons do not understand is that modern-day Masonry is a resurgence of Gnosticism, and they're carrying forward to the present day the secret teachings of the ancient mystery religions, of the Kabbalah, of the Gnostics, of the Theosophists, of the Rosicrucians, and this is carried forward in the modern-day Masonry. There's probably not one in 100 Masons who really knows what it's about.
I believe if you turn to Paul, I think is it Paul, Thessalonians, or Corinthians, or one of them, it says, false teachings are foretold.
Well, I'm sure
it talks about that very thing in the Bible, and it you know, it's very, it's for anybody to read that will know that we are living in, I think, believe the last times.
Well, I think the thing that really bothers me is the statement in 2 Thessalonians 2, where they talk about how there's going to be a great falling away of the faith of the Christian people before the man of sin is exposed. And
right.
Believe me, there's a great falling away today. There are all sorts of phony revivals across America. What's happening in the Catholic Church, what's happening in the Protestant Church, could only be the work of those who hate the God of the Bible and hate our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, anything else you want to say? Because I got to let you go, right?
Well, that's about all I need.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone. Thanks very much for calling. God bless you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, to understand so much of what's going on today, let me suggest the very professionally done DVDs we do carry called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And the second in the sequel, sequence of productions, Riddles in Stone. The Secret Mystery, the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, because these two DVDs done by our good friend Chris Pinto, I think probably better than anything else, lays out the background behind what's really going on today. That there really are secret societies, there really are people who hate the God of the Bible. They work through these secret societies. Their ultimate goal is, of course, to use the financial and military power of the United States to bring about this one world government. The destruction of Christianity, of course, I don't believe Christianity will ever be destroyed, but they're sure doing the best that they can here in this country. And as they're undermining Christianity here in this country, why, of course, Christianity is growing in China and in nations throughout the world, even in Burma. Where, of course, there's terrible persecution of Christians. The Christian faith is growing. And I would simply mention a film that I hope many of you will want to see. It's called Rambo. And, of course, it's the latest Rambo film with Sylvester Stallone. But what a wonderful Christian testimony. Now, I want to warn you, it's a lot of violence in it. And yet, of course, this is not imaginary. This is what's going on and going on in Burma today, with the full help and support of the Chinese Communist government, which exists and is gaining power and prestige because of your tax money, because American corporations are over there building up in Communist China today on the most powerful Christian, pardon me, most powerful totalitarian Communist government in the world. Have you ever noticed we never refer to Communist China? It's always just China. But, of course, it's a ruthless communist regime. Why are we, of course, sending our athletes over there to participate? We wouldn't let them, wouldn't let the South Africans go to the Olympics when, of course, what they were doing, they had a method of inherent discrimination in the society. They were working to correct it. But to punish the South Africans because, of course, they had apartheid, they did not have a true equality of everybody in a democratic society. Why, of course, we wouldn't let their athletes participate. But as far as Communist China, which kills people, kills Christians, chops them up, sells their organs, you know, on the international market, that's all right. That's perfectly all right. But apartheid was a terrible, terrible thing, even though they were working in South Africa to rectify that. And they would have, had it not been for the interference of the American State Department. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 is there. Our Open Line Wednesday draws to a close. And if you're out there in the listening audience and have a question or comment, we would like to hear from you. But I guess I think we started out talking about Lindsay Williams and his expose of the fact that there is no shortage of oil in the world. In fact, oil may well be a renewable commodity. And those of you who have not read my articles on the September and October 2005 newsletters, you can go up to RadioLiberty.com and pull them down. That's September and October 2005 newsletters. And we hope that you'll want to get those and learn about Thomas Gould and his theory about the fact that energy is renewable, that it comes from the center of the earth, and it's really in the form of methane, which, of course, is then ingested by bacteria. And that's, of course, why we call it this organic substance, but it's because of bacterial contamination. Well, let's go to Jay, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. We're going through a heat wave up here. I'm glad it's cooling up. But anyway, real quickly, since Christians and the word Christianity has been tossed around tonight. This Sunday I was reading the entire book of Matthew in the Gospel, and real quickly, Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, tell us, when will these things be, the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he just basically says, listen, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So, you know, these things, like the war we're going to go into with Iran, these things have to pass. There's no sidestepping it. And, you know, God is in control, and, you know, we're going to be an impoverished people, an impoverished nation, but this is, I guess, God's will. You are so right when you say, you know, the enemy is working behind the scenes and orchestrating all the leaders of all these nations for the final cataclysmic showdown. And all I can say is real quickly, everybody get your souls right with Christ, because he's the only one that's going to save you. Good night, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless, and I agree with everything you're saying. Bye-bye. And, of course, our job is to do our best. I do what I do because, of course, I hope that we'll make people aware of the fact there's a problem, or when they begin to become aware of the fact that there's a problem which is coordinated by evil, that there really is evil in the world, perhaps to begin looking for the real source of good, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, always enjoy our open line time together. If you are interested in having more information about the oil scam, which of course is going to, of course, to break the block of our back of our economy, and is in the process of doing it now, of course, of raising the price of diesel fuel, of jet fuel, and certainly of gasoline. And, of course, it's impacting upon the farmers. It's impacting upon the people who have to commute to work. It's impacting on every one of us because there's more and more money is siphoned off to buy gasoline, and there's less money to buy put out for other items. And, of course, we'll have to have food, but the price of food's going up. And so we're going to begin to see a real slowing down of consumer spending. And then with that, of course, we'll have an impact upon Japan, upon the Far East, of course, where many factories have been springing up, who have been exporting to America. We're going to move into a worldwide depression. We're in the process of doing it now, and it's going to get much worse before this year is over. Well, if you'd like, of course, to understand what's happening with oil, let me suggest our four-tape or four-CD set, The Oil Deception. That's The Oil Deception. And then, of course, we've got a great video, which few people have actually seen, but it's a speech that Lindsay Williams gave, very professionally choreographed, entitled The Energy Non-Crisis, and I think you'll enjoy it. We have permission to go ahead and reduplicate that, and we will be offering that, the Energy Non-Crisis. You can order it tonight by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you specifically ask for my newsletters, we'll give you copies of them. That's the October and September and October 2005 newsletters. And if you don't want to get the items that we're mentioning, let me suggest that you go to our website, radioliberty.com, and pull down the October and September and October 2005 newsletters. Let me also suggest that you go to our website and go to the section on other videos. And we've posted a number of videos there. We've posted Lindsay Williams' speech to the Granada Forum on the energy non-crisis. Not quite as good as the one we were offering, but certainly it's very informative, and Lindsay does say some nice things about me in that the DVD. Then, of course, we hope that you'll look at the other things posted on other videos. If you want to know why Building 7 came down, why, there's a clip there that'll tell you. If you want to know why the Twin Towers came down, why, there's a clip there that will tell you. If you want to understand what Congressman Ron Paul is trying to tell the American people about the effort to destroy our economy, there's a clip there, the speech that Ron Paul and Iran, where he will tell you that in the last 3 months, the Fed has increased the amount of, he says money, but he's really talking about credit, some $4 trillion. Now, remember, there's only about $700 billion of money in circulating in the whole world. But they've increased the credit $4 trillion in the last 3 months. And, of course, this is going to destroy the value of the currency and your savings and your CDs and your insurance policies and your annuities and your pensions, and heaven help the people who put all their confidence in money. And because, of course, unfortunately, this will not see us through the difficult times that lie ahead. But, of course, people are going to lose their life savings. So you need to go to the RadioLiberty.com and go to the other videos. And of course, if you'd like to support Radio Liberty, there is a place there on PayPal where you can, or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. But the most important thing you can do is get other people to go to our website, to read our newsletters. We have a section there of videos. We have a section there on other videos. We have a section there, certainly in my live radio programs. You can listen to them 9 hours a day. Of course, you won't get much accomplished. They're 4 hours a day live, and then they're rebroadcast, and you can listen to Joyce Riley and Chuck Chrismeyer and Pastor Butch Palm, all at www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we do hope that you will tell others about our ministry. Try to get them to listen. If you can't, at least tell them what's going on and hope that they will begin to understand. They're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty and for Tom Reed, who broadcast this program in Washington. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, this evening, for the next hour, they're going to be those of the Arthur Bernclough from Americans for... it's a veterans organization where they're trying to get care for our returning veterans. People do not understand that we've rotated probably close to 1 million people through the Middle Near East, the Middle East here over the last 6 or 7 years. And of course, when these boys come home, they've got all sorts of psychological problems, but they have a lot of physical problems too, and we don't know whether they experimented on them as they've done so often in the past. Certainly during the first Gulf War, they used experimental vaccines on our young people, or whether, of course, they are suffering from depleted uranium toxicity, which, of course, they're being exposed to, and, of course, with disastrous effects. Whether, of course, they're being, simply a result of brain injuries. A lot of them have brain injuries because of the improvised explosive devices that have blown up their vehicles. A lot of them, of course, as you know, are permanently crippled, having lost arms and legs and their sight and their vision and their hearing. But all of them have psychological problems of one form or another. What's really so frightening to find out that many times the men are over there in service, if they are in the least bit nervous, why they're giving them Prozac. They're actually giving them these psychotropic drugs which have such a profound impact on the mind. Of course, they're halogen-based. They're actually based upon a fluoride compound. And this has a permanent effect on the brain of these people. And the brain tends to store the fluoride, and it takes a long time, if ever, they'll ever get it all out of their brains. But they're using these psychotropic drugs that actually promote suicide and homicidal ideologies in a significant percentage of these young people, and then we wonder why when they come back they kill their wives and kill their families and everybody that they've loved and really, of course, cared for, and they don't even understand what they've done. And, of course, what are they doing when they come back here and they have their complaints? Why are Veterans Administration is putting them on Prozac? And more of them are committing suicide, and more of them are having homicidal ideologies and killing others. And Arthur Burnclow, thank you so very much for being with us.
Yes, Dr. Sand. Good to be with you again.
All right, fine. Well, is anything being done to help our veterans when they get back here? Are they still getting the same old runaround?
Good news tonight. Not too much, but I got a little good news, and it doesn't get ugly till we start talking about the VA.
All right, fine.
Okay, last Thursday, we had a landslide GI Bill victory in the Senate, 92-6, for Senator Webb's new GI Bill, which is going to take effect as soon as the president signs this. It was a historic vote Thursday night, and it puts us only one step away from being law. And the vote was 92-6 in favor of a World War II-style GI Bill for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. Now, one veterans organization really helped to push this through. We're not the only ones around. These people are doing some fine work also, and it's the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, the IAVA.
Oh, right, now you're the Veterans for Constitutional Law.
Yeah,
aren't
we're
you?
Veterans for Constitutional Law.
All right, fine. And so I think it's important that people understand, at least, that the politicians, of course, are going to vote for something that is popular. Do they really believe in it? Do they really believe in the veterans? No, most of our
politicians only believe in the politicians.
That's right. They're doing this because, of course, they think it'll garner votes from the public. But certainly these young men have been used. Of course, the real solution is to get them out of there. They never should have gone to hold the people who contrived what happened on September 11th responsible for the murder of 3,000 Americans. Isn't it interesting that we're always going after the Muslims, but never the Americans?
Well, we're on the brink of making history for a new generation of veterans and their families. And the momentum we've seen recently is unprecedented, and there are tens of thousands of members nationwide are grateful for the incredible support that Senators Webb and Hagel and more than 500 other lawmakers have demonstrated for our country's newest generation of veterans. And you're right about it. If they would have voted against it, they would have showed that, they all would have showed their true face. So earlier today, the legislative director of IAVA, Patrick Campbell, spoke at a bipartisan press conference in support of the modern GI Bill. And this GI Bill is going to replace the Montgomery GI Bill, which was a horror. The World War II and Korean GI Bill, which was excellent. This was so good for people getting out of the service. It sent more people to school than ever before. And then Sonny Montgomery, probably the sleaziest congressman of all time, Sonny Montgomery of Mississippi, he was the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, took the World War II GI Bill and came up with the Montgomery GI Bill. And the Montgomery GI Bill took all the benefits of the World War II and Korea GI Bill and cut all the benefits on there. And thank God the Montgomery GI Bill is now history. It's bad history, but it's now history. And the bill is now being sent to the president's desk as part of a war supplemental funding bill, thanks to a deal that was reached last week between Congress and the White House. President Bush is expected to sign the bill this coming week. And much more information about the fight for a new GI Bill, for you people who have computers, you could access www.GIBill2008.org. And to arrange an interview with Executive Director Paul Reichdorf or Legislative Director Patrick Campbell or any veteran who could share his or her personal GI Bill story, please contact Michael Houston at 212, that's in New York, 212-982-9699 or my computer, Michael at IAVA.org. And Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is the nation's first and largest group for veterans of the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a non-profit, non-partisan organization, and they represent more than 95,000 veteran members and civilian supporters in all 50 states. Hey, they got more than we do. We got only 83,000.
Well, I hope
95,000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Arthur is simply telling us about the new GI Bill that, of course, is going to allow many of our returning veterans to go to get a college education, as they did after the Second World War. I only hope and pray that, of course, what has been promised to veterans will come to pass. Remember, of course, the First World War, where the veterans were promised a bonus. They were promised a bonus, you know, for bravely going overseas to fight in the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safe for democracy. And then, of course, as we moved into the Great Depression during the Roosevelt administration, they said, we don't have the money to pay you the bonus we promised. And the veterans marched on Washington, D.C., and they were in a large tent camp outside of Washington. As they marched on the White House, why, of course, the American troops opened fire on Americans. And those brave veterans who'd gone overseas to fight for freedom and for democracy bled and died on the streets of Washington, D.C., and we never talk about that here in America. Right now, of course, we're facing a major depression. There's going to be a shortage of funds. Where will the money come from? Let's hope that our current veterans do not meet the same fate that the veterans of World War I met. Go right ahead.
Okay, we've got some more good news here. We have a victory for Lieutenant Colonel Chisani. The case was dismissed. For those who don't know who Lieutenant Colonel Chisani is, he was the colonel in charge of what they called the Hadefa Massacre, which was a fiasco. The whole Hadefa Massacre was a Hadefa fiasco. And this is out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Military Judge Colonel Stephen Folsom, United States Marine Corps, this morning dismissed all charges against Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chisani on the grounds of unlawful command influence. He blistered the prosecution's case in an opinion he read from the bench that lasted an hour. The ruling was without prejudice. Colonel Folsom gave prosecutors 72 hours in which to notify them whether or not they would appeal. The ruling was greeted with tears of joy from Chisani's wife and several spectators in the courtroom. The Thomas More Law Center, a national public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, represented Lieutenant Colonel Chisani alongside his detailed military attorneys. The two law center attorneys assigned to his case are former Marine officers themselves. Robert Moose served in the first Persian Gulf War as an infantry officer, and Brian Rooney was a judge advocate officer who served two tours of duty in Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel John Shelburne, United States Marine Corps, and Captain Jeff King, United States Marine Corps, the detailed military defense counsel, make up the rest of Chisani's defense team. Richard Thompson, president and chief counsel of the Law Center, commenting on the judge's decision, had this to say: we're all grateful for the judge's ruling today. He truly was the last sentinel to guard against unlawful command influence. Now, tragically, our own government eliminated, this is what they did with this Hadefa fiasco, our own government eliminated one of its most effective combat commanders. The insurgents are all laughing in their caves, said Thompson. Lieutenant Colonel Chisani's official 2006 combat fitness report declared him a superb leader who knows his men, knows the enemy, knows his business, and recommended him for promotion. The reviewing major general added, Lieutenant Colonel Chisani has unlimited potential and value to the Marine Corps, and also recommended him for promotion. And the following quotes are excerpts from Lieutenant Colonel Chisani's combat fitness report. That's a required annual evaluation of a Marine officer's performance prepared by his superiors for the reporting period of September 2005 to February 2006. Now, this time period includes the date of the incident for which Lieutenant Colonel Chisani was facing criminal charges.
Well, now, what you really need to do is tell our audience what actually happened in the incident, because I think that, of course, sets the framework for all of this. Why was he charged, and what actually happened at the incident?
It was a battle with insurgents against Marines, and they turned it into an anti-war demonstration, And
how many Iraqis were killed? How many, of course?
I believe 42.
42. Now, were they? How many of them were civilians? How many of them were Iraqi terrorists?
That is a question that nobody knows, because you can't separate the terrorists from the civilians.
Well, of course, you can tell the terrorist because he's got a weapon of some sort.
That's right.
And so, I mean, the question, of course, what we're doing is we're putting our troops over there into an impossible situation where they have difficulty telling who are their enemies and who are the civilians over there. We never should have been in over there. We would have not been in this mess over there.
This is the kind of war it is, Doctor.
But the thing is, we should not be in that sort of a war. And the only reason we had the Civil War was because, thanks to Paul Bremer, a disciple, of course, of Henry Kissinger's, who went over there as the man in charge who superseded the military and actually went against the military, who wanted to keep the Iraq army intact, who wanted to keep the Iraq police force intact, who wanted to keep the factories open, who wanted to keep the schools open, who wanted to keep the civil service functioning. And he went against all of them. He created a situation where there was no law and order, where the Americans had to fight. And of course, the trouble was many of the people who had previously been in the Iraqi army had no means of making a living for themselves other than to join the insurgents. The problem is that we created this whole situation and put our boys into that impossible situation. They never should have been there in the first place. Go ahead.
What I'm trying to bring out is the superlative record of Colonel Chesani, and he was a man who was 44 years old, and is just disgusted with the whole thing. Okay, he was found not guilty, but here's a man who could have served many, many, many more years in the Marine Corps, and out of disgust, he is leaving the Marine Corps.
Well, he has
we are, excuse me, we are losing. We are losing some of our top flight officers and men because of articles like the Time magazine put out, and Congressman John Murtha jumped into it and started condemning everyone with anti-war tirades. Now, I'm anti-war also, but this was a pitched battle between insurgents and Marines, and they turned this in. The publicity that Time magazine gave this and Congressman John Murtha, they turned this into the Hadatha massacre. And you know, we've got to control our media more than we do here. Our media is not giving us the real news. And, here's some of the things they say about this man, Chesani. Leads Marines from front in every operation. Demonstrates moral courage every day. Doesn't hesitate to report bad news fast or contest unrealistic plans. Poor concepts. Despite the complexity and size of his area of operations, he always maintains a calm, cool demeanor. Always seeks advantage over complex, diverse, insurgent enemy. Truly one of the finer thinkers in this counterinsurgency environment. One of the top three infantry cavalry battalion commanders of 13 who have served with RCT-2 during the OIF. A superb leader who knows his men, knows the enemy, knows his business. Doesn't attract a lot of fanfare. Just gets the job done to an exceedingly high standard. And he's also called a long ball hitter. Recommend selection for promotion to Colonel and TLS, top level school. Can we afford to lose men like this, Dr. Stan? I don't think so.
Well, I think we're losing an awful lot of good people. In fact, this Monday I interviewed Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the American forces over there from June of 2003 to June of 2004, and he was forced to resign. He was ordered to resign. And what was his crime? Why, of course, he had actually done everything he could to win the war over there. We weren't supposed to be over there trying to win the war. And anybody would like to know the truth about Iraq, let me suggest my December 2007 newsletter, which is a speech given by General Sanchez, or get my interviews with General Sanchez and understand that this man was betrayed by the military leaders, the men he thought it was his friends, that he said, in the final analysis, when it's all over, all you have is your family, your friends, and your faith, and the rest of it is for nothing. And the army that he believed in, it betrayed him. But, of course, this is what always happens to good military men.
Well, I'll have to say this. He was represented very well by the Thomas More Law Center, which defends and promotes the religious freedom of Christians, time-honored family values, and the sanctity of human life through litigation, education and related activities.
Well, of course, the problem is, Arthur, that it is all simply a great diversion. This is man was a victim of the system that he served.
Exactly.
The military, of course, are people who are dedicated to preserving America. They don't understand, oh, we're not over there to win. Oh, we're not trying to win in Afghanistan. We're not trying to win in Iraq. And the sooner the military begins to understand they're being betrayed by their leaders, why, the better off we will all be.
Exactly. It's all political. Now, you know, the Thomas More Law Center does not charge for its services, and it's supported by contributions from individuals, corporations, and foundations. And you can reach the Thomas More Law Center for those people who have people in the service who are having problems. They will represent you at no charge. The Thomas More Law Center can be reached at 734-827-2001. Or you can visit their website, www.thomasmore.org. And a military judge dismissed the case against the highest-ranking U.S. Marine charged in the killing. Actually, there were 24 civilians killed. They're calling them civilians.
And they may very well have been civilians. It was just
the original
figure
we got was 42, but it came down to 24 here.
All right.
Whittling down the list of those who must still face justice for the 2005 incident to just the accused ringleader. Now, military judge Colonel Stephen Folsom, he dropped all charges against Colonel Chassani, who was accused of violating a lawful order and dereliction of duty at a hearing at Camp Pendleton Marine Base in Southern California. Now, Folsom's decision means that out of 8 Marines originally charged December 2006, 6 have won dismissals of their charges, and 1 has been cleared at a court-martial. Now, the accused ringleader, Staff Sergeant Frank Ulrich, still faces a court-martial. The proceedings against him, however, have been put on hold pending the appeal of a pretrial ruling.
All right, okay, hold that, Arthur. We're going to go to a break. I think it's important people understand we're putting our soldiers into an impossible situation. They're never really sure what's going on. They come under fire, and, of course, they rush into the homes, and if there's civilians there, why, they're not sure who they are. We'll be right back. All right, go ahead, Arthur.
All right. The witnesses claimed angry Marines killed a 24 men, women, and children out of revenge after a popular comrade, Lance Corporal Miguel T.J. Terrazas, died at a roadside bombing. The reports brought international condemnation of U.S. troops in Iraq and famously inspired Representative John Murtha, a Democrat from Pennsylvania and critic of the war, to charge that the Marines had killed the civilians in cold blood, which was not true.
Well, wait a minute. Were they armed?
I'm sorry?
Were the civilians armed?
Yes.
No, they weren't. Most of these were not armed people. They were
most
people
of them were armed.
No, I think I would disagree with you, Arthur. I've read a great deal about this incident. I think that you're dealing with soldiers who are frightened, who are scared to death, who are told that this is where the enemy are, and they go in. But, I mean, there were a lot of children. There were a number of children that were killed. They were not the terrorists. But the thing is that our soldiers are in an impossible situation. I mean, you should not be having operations in civilian areas with our troops. The children were not there.
We shouldn't even be there.
You're absolutely right, and certainly that is what the real problem is, not that sometimes our soldiers don't inadvertently kill civilians because, of course, they're not sure who they are. They rush into a room, you throw in a flashbang, a grenade, you rush into the room, you see people there, you don't know whether they're civilians or whether they're enemies, and you're trying to save your own life, and sometimes civilians are killed. But we should not be there, and the only reason we're there, of course, is because the leaders of our country destabilized Iraq so we could keep our troops there. This is a nonsensical war being fought to justify our continuing there, and our soldiers are as much victims as are the tragic Iraqis who are being slaughtered there. Go ahead.
Now, Rooney, who is one of the attorneys for the colonel, said, the fact that 7 of the 8 Marines have been cleared no longer face charges prove the events at Haditha were not the massacre that Time magazine and John Murtha made it out to be. We've had to go through a 2-year process to prove what we knew from the beginning. You need to trust what your battlefield commanders are telling you and give them the benefit of the doubt. And
but you can't always give them the benefit of the doubt any more than if you ever studied my life. mean, this was a criminal act on the part of our troops. Understand it, because they were frustrated, they were angry, they were hurt, and of course, but sometimes people act as they should not.
You know, the difference between this war and a real war is you don't know who has armaments and who doesn't have armaments.
You're absolutely right.
It could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be an old man, it could be a child.
But you see, we shouldn't be there.
Who has a bomb strapped to him.
But the thing is, Arthur, we are fighting the wrong people. We're fighting, of course, we're criticizing our military, we're criticizing the Iraqis. We should be criticizing the people who took us into this war without justification. Absolutely. They're the ones who are responsible, and both the Republicans and specifically the Democrats were voting into office in 2006 with a promise that they'd get us out of the war, and they had no intention of cutting off funds. They could stop the war tomorrow by cutting off funds, and they're all posturing and saying what we want to hear. The Obamas of this world, of course, the John McCains of this world, the Nancy Pelosi's of this world, but the truth of the matter is they want this war to continue, and then, of course, we find a tragic situation where our officers, our Marine officers, are tried for murder, where our Marines are tried for murder, and being put in an impossible situation. You never know unless you were there. And I'm sure a lot of mistakes are made. Of course they're going to be made, because we're human beings. But the death of those Iraqis was totally unnecessary, and it was unnecessary because we never should have been in Iraq in the first place.
Well, but now that we're on...
Oh, wait a minute, just a moment.
Let me say a few words about our politician. All right, let's...
Okay, fine, but why don't we get around to the Veterans Administration and what's happening with
them? I would like
to
get around to it, but I've set up something here for tonight.
All right, fine, but we were going to talk about the veterans.
We're going to talk about veterans.
All right, fine.
That's why I'm here.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. There are 545 people responsible for America's woes. And politicians are the only people in the world who can create problems and then campaign against them. Now, have you ever wondered why, if both the Democrats and the Republicans are against deficits, why we have deficits? Have you ever wondered why, if the politicians are against inflation and high taxes, why do we have inflation and high taxes? Now, you and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. And you and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. And you and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. And you and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. In fact, the Federal Reserve Bank is an illegal act by the government. The Constitution stated that our money would never be in the hands of a private company, yet it is. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices, 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. And I excluded members of the Federal Reserve Board, because that problem was created by the Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated as its constitutional duty to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. I excluded all the special interests and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. These 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in this common con. And I'm saying con, that's what it is. Regardless of party, what separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of a speaker who stood up and criticized George W. Bush for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. The Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving appropriations and taxes. Now, who is the Speaker of the House? She is the leader of the majority party. She and fellow Democrats, not the President, can approve any budget they want. If the President vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto. The solution, replace the scoundrels, all of them. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetence and irresponsibility. I can't think of a single domestic problem, from an unfair tax code to defense overruns, that is not traceable directly to those 545 people when you fully grasp the plain truth that 545 people exercise power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists is that they want to exist. It wouldn't exist if they didn't want it to exist. If the tax code is unfair, it's simply because they want it unfair. If the budget is in the red, it's because they want it in the red. If the Marines are in Iraq, it's because they want them in Iraq. There are no insoluble government problems. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish, to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take the power. Above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exist disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they took an oath to do. These 545 people, and they alone, are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable by the people who are their bosses, provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees. We should vote all of them out of office and clean up the mess. And
well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest this evening is Arthur Bernclough. Okay, Arthur, please don't talk during when the music is on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let me offer the following comments here. Politicians do the biddings of the elite banking cartel, and not that of the people. While presidents have been busy helping the elite destroy our sovereign nation, many who hold seats in our Congress owe their position to the elite who pays for their elections. They're all guilty of shirking their oath of office by allowing the shredding of our Constitution by presidents who serve the elite by use of, with executive orders and vetoes, clearly in violation of our Constitution. And I agree the 545 corrupt politicians must be replaced. But rather than labeling them as incompetent and irresponsible, I submit they've all committed treasonous acts against this republic and must not only be removed but made an example of to prevent future political parties from becoming a domestic enemy of the people.
Well, Arthur, there are some congressmen who vote the Constitution. There's a small group who did. You're generalizing all the there is this group who really do support the Constitution and stand by it, including Ron Paul and the small group who really...
Bob Filner, the
vast majority of the congressmen and senators, but certainly over there Senate, you have, of course, you've got your senator from Oklahoma who's doing an awfully good job there. So we have a few people there who are doing a good job, but the majority are not so. But what does this have to do with the Veterans Administration, which is what we're supposed to be talking about tonight, Arthur?
The Veterans Administration is probably the worst government agency we have ever had. They're a throwback to the old Indian agency.
You're absolutely right.
What I'm trying to do is explain Without the help of these politicians, the Veterans Administration would not be able to do what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely right. But, Chris, it's been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
What are the problems and what can, Chris, I agree with you that this Congress is responsible, but I don't think the average congressman has any idea what's really happening to the veterans, what's happening to the Veterans Administration,
how they are actually
limiting the ability of the veterans to be able to get the benefits that they've been promised.
Dr. Stan, I think you're wrong about that. I think the average congressman does know what's going on and does know that the veteran is getting the works from Congress and from the VA and will not do anything about
it. Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Arthur Burnclove of Veterans for Constitutional Law. Arthur, would you like to get your telephone number and your website out?
I'm sorry. I'm Arthur Burnclow, Veterans for Constitutional Law. The best number to reach me at is 631-474-4261. That's 631 area, 474-4261. If you want to write me with your comments, we're Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, and we're located at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. And on the subject that we're talking about here, Dr. Stan, in Congress, the House Veterans Affairs Committee, since World War II, we have been trying to get indemnification for the survivors of Bataan and Corregidor. They're all in their 90s now. The few who are left, they're in their 90s. Each and every year, it goes up before the House Veterans Affairs Committee to indemnify these people who were taken from Bataan and Corregidor and sent to Japan for 5 years of slave labor under the most adverse conditions. Most of them perished over there. The ones who survived, we've had this bill go up before the House Veterans Affairs Committee to indemnify them for $20,000 apiece. Now, when World War II broke out, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, everybody of Japanese descent was immediately rounded up, and they were interned, some for as little as one day. They were interned until they could check their security. Each and every single person of Japanese extraction who was interned has received $20,000 from our government, from our Congress, and they were paid. And yet, since 1946, when this first came up in Congress, since 1946, that is 62 years, each and every year, it gets killed in Congress. The House Veterans Affairs Committee refuses to report this bill out to the main floor of Congress, where these few survivors might get paid a few dollars for all the suffering they did during World War II when they were slave laborers in Japan for some of the biggest corporations today.
Well, Chris, is this legislation aimed at the American government paying them or the American government putting pressure on Japan to pay them?
No, because it was on the American government paying them, just like we paid the Japanese here. People of Japanese extraction were paid here by the American public. Now, these people also took the Japanese corporations to court. They took them to court. And what happened in court here was in the Ninth Circuit again in San Francisco. What happened in court is our Justice Department, who I call Just Us, offered the Japanese lobby the use of all their attorneys to have the case thrown out of court. The case was thrown out of court.
And I think that this is really very, very tragic because, of course, these people were interned and forced to work over there. These were the American veterans and veterans at the Bataan Death March. And our government has taken the side of the Japanese government saying that they don't want to pay. And the same thing has happened to people who were victims of atrocities by the Iraqi government. And our government has actually sided with the Iraqi government and Saddam Hussein's government, saying that America Americans who, of course, were tortured and were mistreated by Saddam Hussein are not entitled to compensation. And the thing is that there's a great deal of Iraqi money that is being held by our banks and is not going to be given to the people who've taken these cases to court and won them, but is going to be returned over there to the Iraqi government. And we are totally ignoring our own courts in defense of the Iraqis and of Saddam Hussein's government. So go right ahead, Arthur.
Okay. By the way, we have never discussed the Metzger gates here. Are you familiar with the Metzger?
No, I'm not. Would you like to tell us about it? What is this?
Yeah, this is the military scandal that the media will not touch. And now that the Air Force's two top officials have resigned in this case involving the handling of nuclear weapons and material, there may be an opportunity for Defense Secretary Robert Gates to get to the bottom of the Metzger scandal. Last summer, Accuracy in Media published two blockbuster stories about Major Jill Metzger, who claimed she was abducted and brutalized but somehow escaped from her captors while on a deployment to a U.S. military base in Kyrgyzstan, September 2006. But no hard evidence of her claims ever turned up, and other local sources suggested the abduction story was designed to conceal the procurement of an abortion. In the meanwhile, she returned to the United States, spent a year on ice at Moody Air Force Base in Georgia, where Metzger did little work and was insulated from contact with other service members by the top brass. We were ordered not to talk to her, one sergeant told the website. If you want a website, I can give this out here. www.militarycorruption.com. www.militarycorruption.com. She was then retired. And now draws the equivalent of a military pension worth nearly $3,000 tax-free per month. It's widely believed that Metzger, a feminist icon who had won two Air Force marathons, received preferential treatment. Her father is a retired Air Force colonel, and her young husband, a captain, is a member of the dreaded OSI, which is the Office of Special Investigations. I'm sure you've heard of that, Dr. Stan.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Retired U.S. Army Major Glenn McDonald, who is the editor-in-chief of www.militarycorruption.com, comments, "She had only 12 years of active duty service and was in no way near eligible for a retirement pension, and now she gets the equivalent of one because the top brass seemed to be protecting her. And why? What does she know that could compromise some top generals? Now that the Air Force's top two officials have resigned in a case involving the handling of nuclear weapons and material, there may be an opportunity for Defense Secretary Robert Gates to get to the bottom of the Metzger scandal. The two Air Force officials forced to resign were Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn and Chief of Staff General Michael Mosley. But other top officials may go as well, and one or more may be involved in possible wrongdoing in the Metzger case. During the setting the record straight and providing the complete truth are not for the purpose of making Metzger's life any more miserable than it already is. What happened? She went through personal trauma. The issue is why she was protected. That is the issue. And then retired on a disability pension, supposedly because of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, when veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan who have suffered terrible life-threatening injuries have to fight the system for even a small percentage of the benefits to which they're entitled, and she was granted that like immediately. By many accounts, the handling of the case has hurt morale in the armed forces. It's outrageous that we have wounded and genuinely disabled veterans coming home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan who don't begin to get 100% disability pension for PTSD that Jill Metzger received after just 12 years of service, McDonald says. We can't prove she lied and that her so-called condition is just a way for her to be paid off and taken care of, but we do know that if the top brass participated in the cover-up, which included pension fraud, then court-martials should be convened and the truth finally told.
Well, I think the thing is that we don't know what happened, but certainly
no.
There should be an independent investigation. And unfortunately, in the military, why, of course, if you begin to buck the system, why, you'll come under tremendous pressure and they'll destroy your career. So most of the military officers, tragically, go along to get along, one or the other. Unfortunately, this the way the system is set up, and it's wrong.
Well, they're covering it up, and Major Glenn McDonald is trying to expose this. And he told us at the time that the favorable treatment accorded Metzger was an outrage that reflects political correctness and fear of feminism in the highest reaches of the Pentagon. But Defense Secretary Gates can now begin to correct this problem. We've heard from hundreds of Air Force personnel who are discussing of their military leaders to tell them what really happened in the Metzger case, McDonald added. They feel a double standard is in effect, and Metzger is the last person to deserve a lucrative disability pension. Morale has been adversely affected by this suspicious silence, and only now, with the firing of the much-disliked General Mosley, is there any hope that things are going to get better soon. As accuracy in media has documented, however, the major media have actually shied away from the case, apparently because it involved a feminist military officer, and top Air Force officials had discouraged the media from probing deeper. Despite the failure of the mainstream media to follow up on his story, and the hear no evil, see no evil stance of establishment publications like the Air Force Times, we promise you MilitaryCorruption.com will stay with this case until we obtain information that proves the abduction story is either true or a despicable deception and lie. And that's why they have offered $100,000 to obtain the proof in the form of documents needed to settle the case once and for all. And it's very unfortunate that we have to go through all that length to get to the bottom of the case, Major Glenn McDonald said. One would hope that some senator or congressman would dare to initiate an investigation and demand the truth, but even the appearance of offending the feminists and females in the military scares most politicians into silence. It doesn't take much to scare them, Dr. Stan. We will not be intimidated, McDonald vowed. If the story about escaping her abductors is true, McDonald notes, the Air Force should award her a high decoration. After all, she claims to have escaped and run barefoot for 30 miles to freedom. But there's been no medal and no official statement. Silence and Stonewall have greeted requests for the results of official investigations. And if she was abducted, McDonald and others asked, why did she eventually surface with her hair cut short and dyed black? And what's more, she escaped wearing a wedding ring on her finger after 3 days of abduction, when thugs would have been expected to have taken it off. Now, McDonald, whose popular site, www.militarycorruption.com, gets over 2 million hits a month worldwide, and says the recent firings of top Air Force leaders may inadvertently serve as means to undo the cover-up the major feels has been in place to protect a pampered female officer who many suspect was less than truthful about a so-called abduction.
Well, I think that it's the chances of Robert Gates ever getting to the bottom of anything, I think, is very, very slim. But as long as they think that something's going to happen, fine. I do not believe that Gates is there to get to the truth.
You're right. But, you know, this will take these people will be out of his way, and he's got the opportunity to do it. Whether he does it or not is another story.
Well, I don't think he's going to, but anyway, it'll be interesting to see what develops. Go ahead.
Well, MilitaryCorruption.com has offered Metzger all the space she wants on its website to tell her side of the story, but all we get from her is silence, McDonald says. He said, it's time that the Air Force came clean. We hope this isn't a case of pension fraud and favoritism facilitated by top generals. However, if military regulations were violated and crimes committed here, those responsible should be court-martialed no matter what their rank or who they are. And that's actually all I have to say about the Metzger case. A lot of people are just keeping quiet about it. A lot of people who I know and respect are keeping quiet about it and said, do you really want to talk about the Metzger case on the radio? And I said, why not? Nobody else is doing it.
All right, fine. What's happening to the veterans? Are we having any luck at all in getting better treatment for the veterans? What about the veterans? What Martha, what about the veterans, you know, who now can, of course, get a lawyer to take them into court? In the past, they've been prohibited from having a lawyer, you know, represent them within the Veterans Administration mechanism, you know, until they'd gone through all the appeals, which could be 7 or 8 years. What's
right.
really happening there?
Tell you what's happening. The trial we had out in San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit turned out to be a fraud, an absolute fraud. 800,000 veterans were part of this trial. What they did is they came to a conclusion. The trial ended in about a week's time. They came to the conclusion that they're going to give the VA 150 days, 5 months, to improve their adjudication rate and get people paid in a more timely fashion. Now, if they don't do that within 150 days, what happens? We don't know, because they have not put down any penalty for the VA if they don't comply with it. And I asked the head lawyer, who I was trying to reach for over 4.5 weeks, almost 5 weeks, when I presented 240 pages of evidence on Mr. Principi getting a $250,000 bonus from his own company, QTC, to award them the contract for physical evaluations, and then to quadruple the contract. And that's not the worst part of it, that they, the government is paying $495 for a physical evaluation, whereas it was $89 before.
I think that the audience needs to know Mr. Principi had been actually in charge of the Veterans Administration.
Yes.
Ordinarily, of course, the veterans would get a physical examination. It would be done by the Veterans Hospital for $85 or $90.
That's right.
Part of their workup. But, of course, they decided to contract this out to a private company that was just happened to be owned by Mr. Pensetti when he, of course, left the veterans. And they were getting, oh, how much,
$495. And that's not the worst part of it, Dr. Spann.
So
the worst part of it is the veteran has been cheated out of an actual MD examination and evaluation. It's being done by the clerks at QTC, and they sign off to a doctor who's on staff with with QTC. The doctor who signs it never even saw the veteran.
All right, how much are we talking about? How much is this private company owned and run by the former head of the Veterans Administration making on this scam?
I don't know the exact figure, but he got a $250,000 bonus, and we submitted a copy of the check to them and 240 pages. And since we submitted that to the attorneys who were supposed to be representing the veterans, they stopped returning our calls. It took me almost 5 weeks to reach somebody down there who then told me the trial is over. And I said, what's the result if the VA doesn't comply with getting those 770,000 veterans paid in a more timely fashion? What's going to happen to the VA? And they said, well, they'll probably get a slap in the back of the wrist and be told you're a bad boy.
Well, do we have any idea how much money we're talking about with these the fees for the physical examinations? Are we talking about a few $1,000s? Are we talking about a few $1,000,000s? Are we talking about hundreds of millions of dollars?
We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
So I think this is really what the issue is. If when somebody leaves the government, sets up a corporation, and then, of course, suddenly get a massive contract from the Veterans Administration, paid for with our tax money, that money that should be going to the veterans, we begin to see that this is organized corruption, and nobody seems to be concerned other than the Americans for Constitutional Law. Would that be a fair statement, Arthur?
It would. It would be a very fair statement. It's corruption of the worst kind, Dr. Spann.
And
it's corruption that everybody on the Beltway knows about, but nobody seems to be willing to stick their neck out.
Well, that's all. We'll be back in just a moment with Arthur Bernthal. All right, Arthur, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, now, in our last show that we did was on the VA emails that were discovered, and our new secretary, who also came out of Mr. Principi's corporation, that's Mr. Peek, he's the new secretary of the VA, he has covered up the doctor who said sent an email out to all the health care workers at the VA not to diagnose PTSD, to diagnose it as an adjustment disorder which pays 0% disability. They said if you diagnose PTSD, you're going to have to pay the veteran a disability. So diagnose it as an adjustment disorder. Calls for 0%. Now, this was by a doctor, a VA psychologist in the Temple, Texas Hospital, Norma Perez. She was the one who put this out. And
then who was it, said to?
This was an email that was sent to everyone in the VA.
Okay. Where did she get the authority to send this to everyone in the VA?
She didn't have the authority, and Mr. Peek says he has admonished her. She did not have the authority to say that. In the meantime, thousands and thousands of veterans have been diagnosed with an adjustment disorder, 0% disability, instead of the PTSD, which they should have been diagnosed
with. But the thing is, Arthur, that you cannot send out an email to thousands of people in the Veterans Administration unless you have their emails. Somebody has to give you the emails and the access so that you can actually send these emails out. So obviously, she did not do this on her own.
Well, they're trying to say she did this on her own, and she's been admonished. And she could not have done this without the permission of Dr. Katz, who is the head of the VA mental health. And CBS and also your new head of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Bob Filner, your new chairman, was demanding his resignation, Dr. Katz, and your head of the VA, Peek, says we don't intend to ask him for his resignation. So it's going to stand. All these people who should have been diagnosed on PTSD have been diagnosed on adjustment disorder. They're going to have to go through more and more physical evaluations now.
Well, of course, this is all a scam to avoid paying the veterans.
Of course, that's what it's all about.
All right, fine. We're out of time, Arthur. God bless. Talk to you later. And I think that the real problems in the Veterans Administration, I'm so glad you're there trying to protect our veterans. Bye-bye.
I went very fast, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, the plight of the veterans is beautifully brought out by Arthur when, of course, he gets talking about the problems of the Veterans Administration and the corruption in the Veterans Administration, and I know he feels very, very strongly about the mistreatment of the American veterans, and you should as well, because these are people, whether we agree with the wars they fought in or not, they were brave and courageous people, often who went overseas to fight for freedom in other countries, while we were losing our freedom here at home. And until the American people understand that most of these wars are used, at least in part, as a diversion, so we won't be able to focus on what's going on here, and our attention will be focused overseas, where the fight is going on for freedom, as we're losing our freedom here at home. Let me suggest, if you'd really like to understand the wars of the last century, my talk on Iraq, the untold story, and the syllabus that goes with that, that has all sorts of documentation, you need to get that. Iraq, the Untold Story, the DVD or video, and of course the syllabus that goes with that. Then, of course, we want to mention we have a great new DVD. It's called The Energy Non-Crisis. It's a talk given by Lindsay Williams, and it's available through Radio Liberty. It's a different talk. I've only seen it recently. It was actually filmed in Mexico. But Lindsay does a great job on it and brings out very clearly the fact that there is no energy shortage, that there is plenty of oil out there, and it is specifically and intentionally and maliciously not being developed. Why? So we can have the oil crisis, so we can have oil at $142 a barrel, oil at $150 a barrel, oil at $175 a barrel, oil at $200 a barrel, and this is going to break the back of the American economy. Now, they could drop this price at any time. There's no reason for it to be where it is, and perhaps down the line they will lower the price, but right for now this is going to serve very effectively to begin to add to the fires that are fueling the destruction of the American economy, which is going to impoverish the American people. This is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And, of course, as we pointed out in the past, if you go to Lindsay Williams' website, it's not there any longer. It's simply goodbye, I'm closing down. If you go up on Amazon.com and try to buy a copy of his book, The Energy Non-Crisis, they're not there. There was one this last weekend. It was $199.95 listed on five sites. By Monday morning of this week, it was no longer listed on the Amazon website. Who bought up the book? Who bought all the other books that were out there? Who is suppressing Lindsay Williams' book? Which reveals the fact that there are massive oil deposits up off the North Slope of Alaska. But, of course, they don't want the American people to know that, because they'd probably get very angry if they realized that this is all a scam and it is known by the people in key positions, and somebody is actively suppressing Lindsay Williams' book. But you can get, of course, our talk, the talk that he gave this year, actually, down in Mexico. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927 and simply ask for the DVD on The Energy Non-Crisis. That's The Energy Non-Crisis, and we'll be glad to, and if you'd like to get our October and September 2005 newsletters, if you request them, we'll be glad to send them right along with you so that you can actually have the information that demonstrate there is no oil crisis. But, of course, there's going to be a crisis in America, a financial crisis, as our airlines begin to collapse, as our trucking industry begins to collapse, as our farming industry begins to collapse, as the automotive industry begins to collapse. And certainly this is one reason why they're not building the pickup trucks and the SUVs any longer, simply because of the skyrocketing prices of oil. And, of course, you have to understand, at least in part, this is part of a long-range program to force people out of their cars, to begin to lower your living standards, to force you to live in sustainable communities. If you want the documentation, you need to get my talk, Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government. That's Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government. But you should get the syllabus that goes with that, because it gives you the documentation. The Earth Charter, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the information on population control, and the plan to kill off the vast majority of the world's population. People say that could not be true, and yet we're killing people throughout the world with disease. We're out of time. God bless you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. This is Joyce Riley. Dave Onkleist is on the road. Hopefully, we'll be getting a report today to find out what's happening up in South Dakota. It appears that they had a great time yesterday at the, what do they call that? Well, it was with Chinupa Guhamani. They went by to visit the reservation and meet the people there, and I guess they had a little show for them, some dances, some songs, and it turned out to be a really neat experience. So we're very pleased for that.